Everyone ready to get this meeting started? It is now 2:00, and we would like to call to order this Fire Technical Advisory Committee meeting. It is Thursday, April the 4th at 2019. We will begin by calling roll to confirm that we have quorum. TAC members, please answer by saying here. Hamid Bahadori. Peter Schwab.
Here.
Joe Belcher.
Here.
Jeff Gross. Robert Hamburger.
Here.
Brad Schiffer.
I'm on.
Thank you. Joe Holland. Chris Attari for Joe Holland today. Tony Applebeck. Jim Schock.
Here.
Hamid Bahadori, did you join the call? Jeff Gross. Chris Attari for Joe Holland.
Yeah, I'm on.
That Chris?
This is Hamid.
Thank you, Hamid. All right, now we have a quorum. Any other TAC members join the line that did not make roll call?
Christopher Attari for Joe Holland. I apologize. I keep getting kicked off the call.
Okay. We don't see anything on our end. Jeff Gross?
Okay. Well, I'm out in Denver, so there's no telling, but I'm here now. Sorry.
You just got a mountain in the way. All right, TAC members. Let's approve our agenda as posted if there are no recommended changes.
Belcher move approval.
Schock, second.
Belcher and Schock. All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. Next, we would like to review the previous minutes. Actually, the previous minutes of March 18th, 2019 are not yet available. So we will move ahead to item number 4. We will first like to discuss our deck statement. Actually, let me introduce it. Yes?
Excuse me. The minutes of Thank you.
Thank you. It's the 18th, last week. Okay.
Yeah, I realize that.
I am Marlita Peters. I'm going to help facilitate your meeting today. Mo?
Yeah, Mo Madani.
Justin Vogel.
Robert Bimbo.
Chris Howell.
Jim Hammers.
Thank you. Do we have any guests on the line that would like to be acknowledged?
This is Mike Fagley with FinFrock.
Mr. Fagley, thank you. Anyone else? Any other guests on the line? Hearing none, TAC members, we're going to begin with Deck Statement 2019-007 by Derek Weichman of the City of Ocala Growth Management Building Division. Mr. Weichman, are you on the line or your representative? Hearing none, staff, would you like to present?
Yeah, good afternoon, Mo Madani, and assuming everybody have received the staff analysis, they are posted on the agenda, and this has to do with deck statements 2019-007. The petitioner mainly is asking for a clarification with regard to whether the 2017 Florida Building Code building, section 903, automatic sprinkler system, 903.2.8, group R, applied to townhouse building in question. The project that's as outlined under the background and also in the petitioner's request. This is a townhouse building, and the building is mainly designed to the Florida Building Code Residential 2017, and according to the information provided, the definitions for the townhouse meet the definition of townhouses for section 202. As you see in section 101.2 of the Florida Building Code building, under the exception, the Florida Building Code building mainly refer users to the code for residential in term of residential, those buildings that fall within the scope of the residential code, which is one and two family dwelling and town houses that is three stories or less, as long as they meet the definitions of townhouses as stated in the residential code. So the you know, in terms of the sections that's referenced in the questions, it does refer to section 903.2.8, group R, which is from the Florida Building Code building. I've given you the definition of the townhouses as stated in the residential code. And also, I provided you with section R313, automatic fire sprinkler system, as stated in the residential code, and you see that's reserved. And the reason what is reserved, if you recall, for the statute 553.73, mainly state that the provisions of the International Residential Code relating to mandated fire sprinkler may not be incorporated into the Florida Building Code. And so every time we update the Florida Building Code, using the, as we have done prior to this current update, we normally reserve the R313 for compliance with the code, meaning sprinkler requirements are not required for one and two family dwellings and townhouses as defined in the residential code. So based on that staff analysis with regard to the questions, question one, does the 2017 Florida Building Code building section 903 automatic sprinkler system 903.2.8 group R apply to the townhouse building? Answer, the petitioner first answer, which is option one, petitioner believed that fire sprinkler are not required for townhouses, meaning the exact definition per 2017 Florida Building Code residential chapter 2 definition, section R202 definition, townhouses and the residential code applies, not the commercial building code. For staff, option two, the answer to the question is no. As per section 101.2, the scope of the 6th edition 2017 Florida Building Code building, the project in question falls within the scope of the 6th edition 2017 FBC residential, and therefore section 903.2.8 of the 6th edition 2017 FBC building does not apply to the townhouse building in question. Question number two, are fire sprinkler required? The answer, for option one, the petitioner, so I refer you to the answer to question number one. For option two, staff, the answer to the question is no, as per section R313, automatic sprinkler system reserved. The townhouse in question is not required to be sprinklered. Thank you.
TAC members, do you have any clarifying questions?
Belcher, no questions. I agree with the staff analysis. I just want to point out there is an informal interpretation from the fire marshal that was dated in July 17th of 2012 that answers the same way, that the section of NFPA 101 does not apply. And they basically said that they're not apartments. They are single-family dwelling, and the life safety code requirement does not apply. Thank you.
Jim Schock here.
Okay.
I'd like to move staff recommendations on both questions, but I do have a discussion point that I think I need to mention.
But Mr. Schock, let me see if there's any public comment before we go to the motion, please.
Okay.
Anyone from the public with questions or comments? Did our petitioner join the line? Okay, Mr. Schock, back to you.
Okay, I'd make a motion to move staff recommendations on both questions, but I do have a discussion point I'd like to make once it's seconded.
Elter second, sir.
Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, my discussion point is this. When that law came into effect prohibiting residential sprinklers in the requirement in the residential code, there was an additional requirement that said jurisdictions that had sprinklers already in their local ordinances for residential construction, those provisions could remain. I don't know whether or not this jurisdiction has anything or doesn't have anything, but either way, I think something should be put in the answer to explain that caveat, because down the road, a developer or a contractor or an architect engineer may look at this and say, you know, this is the same situation, therefore I can provide the same answer, which may or may not be true depending on the local jurisdiction. So I think we ought to have something in there about that caveat.
To my knowledge, Jim, when I talked to the building official, there were no local provisions or requirements for sprinklers at that time.
Well, remember, though, Mo, that these deck statements could be used by other jurisdictions that have a similar question or similar issue, and I wouldn't want them to just jump to the conclusion that it's not required without knowing the particulars from that locality. So I just feel a caveat in that area would be important.
Yeah, this is Mo Madani again. I'm sorry, but when we answer the questions and we answer it based on the facts it provided and within the scope of the code, I think if there's a local amendments out there or something, that's a different really avenue. But yeah, it's all right. I'll leave it to you guys what you want to do.
Belcher, I agree with Jim. It's when that law passed, there was in fact a local requirement. They're still allowed to continue requiring the sprinklers. So I think that little caveat would not hurt this case, and it would be helpful for future users of the deck statement.
This is Justin Vogel. Commissioner Schock, would appending this sentence to the proposed answer meet your concerns? We would add, this is with the understanding that there is no lawfully adopted ordinance relating to fire sprinklers, which has been in effect since January 1st, 2010, with this project?
Yeah, that's exactly what the caveat that I'm looking for, something to that effect.
Right. Sure. Do you want to amend your motion to include that? I guess with Mr.
Yes, Belcher, I would.
With Mr. Belcher.
And the second agrees.
Okay.
Second agrees.
Any further discussion from other TAC members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion with the amended caveat, would you please vote by saying aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The motion carries. Next, we would like to review DEC Statement 2019-014 by Alan Frenfrock of Frenfrock DMC. And Mr. Fagley, you're on the line.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to present your request?
Yes, we're contracted to a project for Florida A&M University of some dormitories, and the owner has requested that they have service access to the fan coil units through the corridor wall. The fan coils are within a framed-in space so that the access panels only give access into this space and not into any occupied area. A question came up internally whether or not under a code section stated that doors or smoke and draft control door assembly should be tested to UL 1784, any fire door assembly. From what I've been able to find, the access panel manufacturers do not test any of their doors to the UL 1784, and since the door does not access panel does not communicate into occupied space, is it truly considered a door? And that's the question we have. Is the access panel considered a smoke and draft control door, which would require the UL 1784 testing?
Does that complete your comments?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Mr. Madani, staff analysis?
Yeah, Mo Madani. Again, good afternoon. In terms of the petitioners, mainly deck statement DS-2019-014, the petitioner, as stated, mainly requesting clarifications on whether the code classifies an access panel as a smoke and draft control door, which would require to be rated per UL 1784. And as stated by the petitioner, this is a project, a dormitory project for Florida A&M University, and the proposed project is mainly that a dorm room fan coil unit be serviceable from the corridor. So the intent is to allow for an installation of a panel door, which is a size of 18 inch wide by 57, to be able to serve the mechanical equipment. That door will be a door from the corridor, and stating that this space where the equipment is housed does not communicate with any occupiable space. Reviewing the code and those sections that being really addressed in the declaratory statement, there is a section 716.5.3 door assembly in corridor and smoke barrier, which is really state that fire door assembly required to have a minimum fire protection rating of 20 minutes were located in corridor. So it's in terms of the fire resistant ratings is in requirement 716.5.3, but then also section 716.5.3.1 smoke and draft control. A fire door assembly shall meet the requirement for smoke and draft control door assembly tested in according to UL 1784. And that's really to prevent smoke from migrating into the corridor, so the corridor can be used for as a safe egress. So, based on what's provided and all that, we have not really seen any exceptions in the code with regard to the door panel described in the project in question. And for that, the answer, the staff analysis, the question, does the code classify an access panel as a smoke and a draft control door, which would require it to be rated per UL 1784? The petitioner provided an answer to his question, which is under option one. Petitioner respectfully believes the answer to the question is no, since the fire-rated access panels are not tested to UL 1784. We do not believe that the code intent is to classify these panels as control door. Otherwise, we feel that they would have been tested to the standard years ago. The staff answered the question. The answer to the question is yes, as per section 716.5.3.1, smoke and draft control, the access panel in question must meet the requirement for a smoke and draft control door assembly tested in accordance with UL 1784. Thank you.
Thank you. TAC members, any clarifying questions?
Well, Chair, I have a question for Mr. Fegley.
Go ahead, sir.
Sir, what kind of testing has this panel been subject to?
It's undergone a fire rated testing for UL, I mean, that's typical with all manufacturers.
What standard is it been, was it tested to?
I don't have that in front of me. But it's not UL 1784. And when I inquired about that with different manufacturers, none of them had tested to that standard.
Belcher again. I would really like to know what it was tested to, you know, if it does have a fire rating. I'd also like to see, you know, if you had included a photograph or something we could look at other than that drawing, because I can't really get a sense for what we're talking about there. I have a hard time thinking this is actually a door, but, you know, the code doesn't really have that broad language that we could. We kind of need to see what we're talking about, I think.
Yeah, that was kind of part of my problem as well. I didn't really see it as a door since it didn't provide communication between two spaces, occupiable spaces. It just provided access into the interstitial space so that you could service the unit without interfering with the occupants of the room. And since nobody seems to have that certification for their products, that led me to believe that in the past this has gone through without any problems.
I don't know what the other tech, I didn't mean to cut you off, do you have something more?
No, sir, go ahead.
I don't know how the other members of the tech feel, but I don't feel like I really have enough information. I'd like to know what testing has been done for this panel or whatever it is. To me, it sounded like a panel rather than a door. I'd like to know what standard it was tested to, and I'd like to see some photographs of it. I would consider a motion to defer this, requesting further information.
One moment.
The requester, petitioner.
Justin.
Mr. Belcher, hey, this is Justin Vogel, Commission's Counsel. I just wanted to point out that there is a statutory duty to provide an answer to a declaratory statement petition within 90 days of receiving it. And so if there were going to be any kind of deferral, because there isn't sufficient information that the TAC feels that it needs to in order to proceed, then I think at the very least we would need to have some confirmation from the petitioner that he is willing to waive that 90-day requirement. I know that's happened at least on one other occasion since I've been with the commission. Failing that, if he didn't want to, then I would say that if the TAC feels that it doesn't have sufficient information, then it should recommend that this petition be declined because insufficient information has been provided.
Well, I can waive the requirement. I do have a question when you asked about photos. There is no installation at this time on this particular project. We're still in the design phase of it. We could give photos of current access panels that are rated, fire rated, if that would be sufficient.
I'm assuming this is like a panel or some. This is a unit you're going to buy someplace. You're not manufacturing it, right?
No, sir. This is a produced product by multiple manufacturers across the country that is a fire-rated door that's spring-closed that comes up against a seal. It's just they do not bother to test it for smoke.
Gentlemen, friendly reminder. Just a gentle reminder. State your name before speaking, please. Mr. Schiffer?
A question, and I don't see the big deal, Eric. This is really no different than those we use to get it damp. And the code's pretty simple. Maintain the fire resistance. If it's sealed and going to automatically close, is this the access panel that we would have fire damper? A bigger one?
This is Mike Fagley again. You broke up a little bit, but I think I got the gist of your question. Yes, it is very similar to an access panel that you would have for a fire damper and a fire-rated wall. It meets the same standards. It just is a larger size because of the size of the piece of equipment, being able to remove the motor and the coil, as well as change filters. And actually, the actual size right now is still in a little bit of flux, and it might be a little bit smaller than this, maybe 16 inches wide instead of 18, but that's kind of immaterial for the general consensus of things.
And the code on those dampers really just state something to the effect, I read it, that just maintain the fire resistance of the wall. So I can't see why we would drag in requirements for this panel.
Any other TAC members with questions?
Yeah, I just, this is Momodani. I think really you need to look at, you know, why smoke control. I guess, you know, if you have a mechanical equipment and you have a door, and the door is not smoke tight, if there is a malfunction or fire in the mechanical room, that would really migrate, the smoke will migrate into the corridor. That corridor will be mainly disable the use of the corridor. Is that, I struggle with it. You know, I know it's a large opening, but it's still, you have a mechanical equipment that you're trying to really house there.
But here's the thing, Mo, I don't see a door here. First of all, it doesn't have a sill. It doesn't have threshold. This is a panel that, once closed, is going to seal on all four sides. So, and maybe Joe Belcher's question is what tests are being done, because maybe some of those tests do, in fact, test for smoke control also, you know, although not the same test you would do on a door, because it is in the same situation. There's no undercutting in this thing. There's a whole lot of things that the door test has this thing would need.
This is Mike Fagley again. In following up with that, typical UL test for fire rating doesn't only just stop the fire, but it also involves thermal transmission through that, so that the temperature on the other side does not reach above a point of causing additional combustion.
Which might even be more excessive than the test for the door.
Yes.
Any other TAC members with questions or comments?
Belcher here. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt somebody.
Let me get a list. Mr. Belcher, and who was the other person, please?
Schock.
Mr. Schock. Okay, Mr. Belcher, go ahead.
Again, this does not sound like a door to me, and I really think we need to know what it was tested to. I understood it sounded like, my suggestion was that at the request of the petitioner, we would defer it. Not that we would just defer it on our own, just to make that clear.
Mr. Schock?
Yeah, my question is, and I think I know the answer, but I would assume that the airflow through this air handler or whatever is a sealed unit. It shouldn't, if installed properly, it wouldn't leak into the space and then in turn into the hallway. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. This is Mike Fagley. The return is ducted directly into the unit, as is the supply.
Okay, I kind of figured that, but I thought I'd better ask it.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Bob Hamburger. I have a question for Mr. Fagley.
Go ahead, Mr. Hamburger.
Mr. Fagley, is this fan coil unit, what size is it? Is there room to put something like that in the ceiling and just rid the problem to begin with?
No, actually, it was the owner's request. See, if it was in the ceiling, it would have to be in the corridor ceiling. And there is no room in the corridor ceilings.
Okay.
Because the owner wants access for maintenance from without interfering with the occupants of the space.
Any other TAC members with questions or comments? Hearing none, is there anyone from the public with questions or comments?
Yes, this is Pete Quintella.
Okay, and
my question is,
excuse me, Mr. Quintella?
Is this,
Mr. Quintella, there is some background noise. Someone's having a sidebar conversation outside one of your offices. If y'all could be mindful that it is leading into the conversation. Go ahead, sir. Mr. Quintella?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, but we're still hearing a conversation in the background, sir.
It's speaking to us right now. It's on my phone.
Right. The question is, is it direct ducted? And if it has a self-closing on that door or that panel, is that the case?
Mr. Fagley, do you understand the question?
The unit is directly ducted, and the fire access panel is self-closing.
Thank you. I see no problem with that.
Thank you. We're still hearing a back conversation.
Yeah.
Mr. Quintella, we believe it's coming from your office. Okay. TAC members, any other questions or comments, or anyone from the public? If not, we're back to the TAC for a motion. Mr. Fagley, do you officially waive your 90 days?
Yes, I can do that to provide the information requested.
Thank you. TAC members, back to you. We need a motion, please.
Elcher, move deferral for requesting further information, what the testing is actually, what the unit is actually been tested to, and perhaps some photographs of what we're talking about.
And Schiffer will second that.
Belcher and Schiffer, motion to defer, and you would like testing and photographs. Any further discussion, TAC members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, thank you, gentlemen. Is there any other comments or questions for today before we take our final roll call? Thank you. Please answer by saying here. Hamid Bahadori.
Here.
Pete Schwab.
Here.
Joe Belcher.
Here.
Jeff Gross. Robert Hamburger.
Here.
Brad Schiffer.
Still on.
Joe, Chris Atari for Joe Holland.
Here.
Thank you, Jim Schock. Thank you. It is 2:34. We conclude our meeting and have a good day.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Goodbye.